As we move into the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel, we see that the contest between David and Absalom is now fast coming towards a crisis. It must be determined by the sword. There's going to be war. There's going to be bloodshed. And so preparation is made, as we see in this chapter, for that to come to pass. And so the first thing that Absalom does is to call a council of his wise advisors. And he first of all talks with Ahithophel. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 17, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night." So Ahithophel's counsel is, let me go after David now. Let me choose 12,000 men. I'll lead them myself personally, and let's strike fast. Let's go tonight. Let's don't waste any more time. Let's catch him while he's out on the road, while he's in flight, while he's in the wilderness, when he's least suspecting it, when he has the least amount of men to defend him, and let's strike swiftly, and we'll be very successful in it. He states this more plainly in verse 2, "And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only." So he's going to catch him at this moment of weakness. And Ahithophel's advice here is very wise. He is quite correct. This more than likely would be the very best thing that Absalom could do to defeat David. David was in a weak condition. He was in a weary state. He was in a condition in which he didn't have a very strong force to protect him at this time. He was also probably not expecting an attack at this very moment. He would not have gotten any information from his spies, from Hushai or the priests. And so he wouldn't know what was happening until he was in the midst of a very hot battle and probably be defeated. He would have been made afraid because we see he had enough fear to flee the city just hearing that Absalom was coming. And so if he knew that a force were coming to take his life, he would also be further afraid. And Ahithophel predicts that all the people that are with him shall flee. They're not going to stand by him and protect him at this time. They're too weak of a force for this. We'll be able to frighten them and bully them and bluff them, if anything else. And then he says, "And I will smite the king only." It's just the king that we're after, so we'll go ahead and swiftly kill him, and then the forces that he has will have no one to support. They'll have no one to rally around, and so they'll be scattered, and they'll be forced to support Absalom because there'll be no other king, no other contender, even for the throne. So we'll get rid of the heart of the trouble by just killing the king. And this does seem to be very wise advice, wise in the ways of the world, that Ahithophel is giving to Absalom. He was a wise counselor. He did have the thing pretty well figured out so that he would know how to gain a swift victory for Absalom. Then he says in verse 3, "And I will bring back all the people unto thee." So once David is killed, once they have no one to follow like David, then I'll bring the people back to thee. You'll have all of these people that are now rallying around David, you'll have them coming back to thee. "The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned." So it's just a matter of taking care of this man, the man that you're seeking after. When we get him, it's like having everybody. So we'll destroy him and get him out of the way, and then we'll have all of his followers to turn over to your side. "So all the people shall be in peace." Of course, we see this is the concept that wicked men have of peace. They want to kill first and then talk about having peace. And so they make war to make peace. And this is really not necessarily God's way of having peace, and it certainly is not the way the Christian goes about having peace. But this is the conclusion that Ahithophel makes. You're going to have peace if you'll act tonight, do what I say, let me lead these 12,000 men, we'll smite David, and then we'll gain all of David's followers over to your side. Verse 4, "And the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel." Now this idea of killing his father that very night was in the heart of Absalom. It pleased him. It appealed to him. It's something he liked. And so we see then that he was black at heart when it comes to the well-being, to the welfare of David, to the disposing of David as king. He wanted him put to death right then. Now, we'd like to notice the similarity of the advice that Ahithophel gives here to Absalom with that advice given by Caiaphas hundreds of years later regarding our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Caiaphas was the counterpart to Ahithophel, and he advised that the Savior be put to death, and he advised that he be put to death for the good of the people. In John 11, verse 50, notice what he says, "Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." His reasoning was, if we kill this one man, then we'll save the nation. The whole nation then will be turned away from him, be turned away from defecting after this sect that he's starting, and will save the nation. Again, in a parable that our Lord gave in Matthew 21, verse 38, "But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance.' And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him." So, that was true of our Lord and Savior. That's what happened to him. He was the heir. And so we see that the same thing is true of David. David was heir to the throne. He was the man after God's own heart. But Ahithophel was advising that we kill him. And once we kill him, then we'll have all that's his. All the inheritance will be ours. And the saying pleased Absalom. So here's the wise counsel given by Ahithophel. And it seems to be the most expedient thing to do at the moment. But we must not overlook the fact that this is not according to what God wanted. And God does take the wise in their own craftiness, and that the mind of man is not the mind of God. And so God's not going to allow this thing to happen. And so what happens is that Absalom decides he wants to hear Hushai, the other wise counsel. Let's see what he has to say about it. Verse 5, "Then said Absalom, 'Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith.'" So Hushai is going to get a chance to give his opinion. And as we know, he is a spy for David. He's working for the good of David, not for the good of Absalom, although Absalom doesn't know this. And this is one of the ways that God has of defeating those that are against his ways. So verse 6, "And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, 'Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou.'" So now we're going to see how that although Ahithophel was so very wise, that Hushai not only was wise, but he also had a great amount of tact. He had the ability to agree that Ahithophel was a wise counselor, then this was wise counsel, but he's going to say it's not good at this time, and he proceeds to give other counsel then that'll be more for the benefit of David. Verse 7, "And Hushai said unto Absalom, 'The counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time.'" Now, of course, it was good counsel. It'd be hard to argue against it. And he agrees that it was, but he says at this time it's not good. This is not really the time to institute that particular move. "For," said Hushai, "thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chaffed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field." So he proceeds to build up the fact that David is not going to be easily taken. He's a man that's had a lot of experience at warfare. He is not anybody's fool in this area. So they are mighty men. They are well experienced. They're well trained. This army that you have is not a trained army like he has. He has the very best of the warriors with him. And they know how to fight. They know how to defend themselves. And you're going to get yourself into a real problem by going after them with a bunch of untrained men. And they are chaffed in their minds. That is, they're really and truly set in what they're doing. They're not following some false cause. Many of your men are just following along with the herd. They're just kind of going along with what seems to be the orderly thing to do here, or the popular thing to do. But these men with David, they've got a true cause. They're chaffed in their mind. Their hearts are really behind their actions. They believe in their cause. They're like a bear that's been robbed of her whelps in the field. They're going to fight to the death. They're not going to give up. They're not going to roll over and play dead for you. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. David is not going to be in a vulnerable position lodging with the bulk of the people that are not able to defend themselves. He's going to be in a much different condition than that. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or some other place. David is going to be lying in wait for you. He's going to be prepared to ambush you. He's going to be in a position where you're not going to be able to find him and to conquer him and to kill him. He is much more wise than that. And it'll come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. Whenever you go in there after David, and the first ones that he kills, the first group that he overcomes, then there's going to come a cry ringing through your whole army that there's a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. That we're defeated already, and your men are going to be faint-hearted compared to David. And he's going to gain a tremendous advantage there. And Hushai further counsels that when David begins to be successful, whenever he slaughters some of your men and causes this great fear, and he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. Now, those people that are so anxious to go out here and fight, they seem to be so valiant right now. Whenever they are faced with David, when they begin to see the success that David's going to have, then their heart's going to melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. They all know that they're up against a real army. They're not up against some amateurs. This is the real king. This is the one who's had all the experience. And so your men are just going to turn into butter whenever they come up against him. And so it's not a wise thing at all to go against him right now like this. So he says in verse 11, therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So he says some things here to really appeal to the pride and haughtiness of Absalom. He says, you need a much greater army than this. I suggest, I counsel that you get all Israel, that is all the fighting men, all the able-bodied persons of Israel who can go to war. You get all Israel. Gather them from Dan even to Beersheba, from the furthest point in the north to the furthest point in the south of this nation. You have them to come together as the sand that is by the sea for multitude. You get a large number of people. You get a group of numbers so that you got some power. And then you go into battle in your own person. You guide them. Ahithophel is not a warrior. He's not a soldier. He's not one that can successfully conduct a battle against David. You need to go out there in person. We need a man of your caliber to go. And then you're going to be able to do something. Verse 12, so shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him, and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. We'll come upon him as the dew upon the ground, wherever he happens to be. If he's hiding out in the desert, we'll find him, and we'll get him. He won't get away from us if you do like I say. There'll not be one of them left. And, moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then all of Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we'll draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. Now, of course, this last illustration is rather absurd. He probably says it more to bring about laughter and humor than to really be serious about it, the idea of taking ropes and drawing a city into the river. But he is getting the point across to Absalom that you're going to be successful if you just simply do what I say. You're going to be able to be victorious against David. But if you follow the advice of Ahithophel, you're not prepared for that. Your men are not prepared for a surprise march against David with Ahithophel leading them, and they're going to be defeated. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. So they liked his counsel better than they did that of Ahithophel. And the reason they liked his counsel better was because it was the Lord who was working in this thing. The Lord was defeating the wise. He was trapping them in their own wisdom. And consequently, this all worked then to the benefit of David. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Christ saying, goodbye, friends.